Hello everyone, this is John Braun with Hitman Advertising, and today I'm doing a special interview with one of my longtime coaching clients, Mr. David Hebert. He's been in the cleaning business in Chicopee, Massachusetts, and he has been in business for over 20 years. He is in an area where it's very snowy in the wintertime, so that's really why I wanted to interview him at this time, because he does do a lot of commercial. And it really is, especially with where he's at, what keeps him through the winter. Because otherwise, especially some of you guys where it's snowing a lot, you're going to be doing a lot of just sitting around on the couch. I know guys that just give up during the winter and not even plan on cleaning again. But you don't have to. Now, if that's your plan and you want to take a long vacation, that's fine. But David and I are going to talk a little bit. I've got some great questions I'm going to ask him about what he does. And I'm going to show you some things that you guys can be doing to stay busy through the winter. So how are you doing today, David?
I'm awesome, John. Thanks.
You're very welcome. Now, thank you for doing this interview. I'm glad that we could do this. You know, we've got some questions that we talked about that are going to help these guys. And so let's just go ahead and get right into it. First, let's talk a little bit about even maybe the specifics of what you consider commercial cleaning. Is it always an apartment complex? It's a small apartment complex. Is that commercial, or what do you consider commercial cleaning?
Well, what I consider commercial cleaning is anything that I'm not dealing directly with a homeowner. So, like, if I'm doing work for a real estate agent, and even though it might be a home, I consider that commercial cleaning. So that and anything from, you know, small restaurants on up to big, like, Class C office buildings to military installations. But normally it's anything that's not directly related to a homeowner.
Great. So in the, at the same time, too, we can, if we have time, even talk about, I do a lot of marketing to realtors, and I know maybe that you do, too. Maybe later on we can touch on that. But that's one of the things, too, if you're wanting to get business commercially, market to realtors, market to property managers, that type of thing. So, well, good. So what type of commercial clients do you like to target the most? Who are your favorite commercial clients?
Some of my favorite commercial clients are small to medium property management companies. They seem like they're willing. It's not so much about price to them. They want to impress their clients and keep the building looking good. I love real estate agents.
Right.
And some direct stuff that I really like is I like daycare facilities. Normally I don't like franchises or chains, but for my area there are several small chains, like they from 8 locations to 1 location. I know has like about 20 of them. They're a really good source for us. And government and military contracts have really done us well.
Right. Especially if you can get in with the right guy for the government and military contracts. Sometimes that's hard. There's not usually a mailing list you can buy to directly market to the government. A lot of the times that's by referral. Or, I don't know, for you, how did you get in with the government contracts?
Well, I'm a veteran.
Oh.
And actually, so I actually signed up. There are specific programs that the government has for veterans.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody happened to be a veteran, they could actually sign up for specialty programs. So when jobs or contracts come up, either in their area or nationwide, if they're on the list, they'll get a notification, so they can bid on this job. And some of the jobs are 5-year contracts or 10-year contracts.
Wow.
So once you're locked in, it you know, you're good for a while.
Right. Yeah, that is great. I've heard of stuff like that, but I'm not a veteran, so I wouldn't have the luxury of of getting in with anything like that. But that is good to know for anybody who is a veteran, that you can go through those special programs. Do you know what the program is called, or how would anybody that is a veteran go about getting into that?
If they would just go into Google and even just type in veterans contractor programs, there's
okay.
There would be a list. I actually did that this morning, so I know they would see several lists.
Great. Veterans contract programs. We're talking about the types of commercial targeted prospects. I just wanted to add a little bit. You know, a lot of the times I recommend not going after franchises, but I think you made a great point that small franchises can be good, because the point with not going after big franchises is it's harder to access the head guy or the maintenance guy, or you don't even know who the maintenance guy is. But if it's a smaller franchise, the guy that you need to contact about cleaning may indeed still be the owner. If it's a franchise of 20 different stores or 10 different stores, not always. I mean, a lot of the times too, they'll have a maintenance guy, but it's just a lot more accessible, and you still have the benefit of cleaning more than one place. You're cleaning several different places. And then if it's somebody that's trustworthy, because the thing too, that a lot of the times that you'll start understanding the more you do commercial, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, David, it's not just a situation of, does the client trust you? It's, do you trust the client? We've got several commercial people in our area that'll call us that we won't go out and clean for anymore, right? You don't just take every cleaning job you can get, especially with commercial, but with homeowners either, but especially with commercial, because if you're not careful, I don't know how they treat you in your area, but apartment complexes are notorious for, you know, come out today, we want the lowest price, and we're going to pay you in 3 or 4 months, right? You got to know which places those are and avoid them. Right.
Oh, absolutely. We've gone through the same thing before where, you know, they want it done yesterday and then it takes them 30, 60, 90 days to pay you. And those obviously aren't the clients we want. That's why I try to stay away from hotels or motels as much as possible, because they, in my area at least, seem to be the worst.
Right. And that's the thing. It kind of, what I figured out is it depends on the area. Some areas, apartment complexes are humane to their cleaning companies, and some places they're not. In Pensacola, they're not very much, but, you know, a couple of them have been, you know, over the years, but you got to find the right ones, right? So, and you mentioned doctors, we love attorneys, we love dentists. I mean, all those places, can think about the places that have money to spend, that are profitable, obviously all of those are, but even maybe with that, do they have to maintain a very clean environment? Doctors' offices, medical facilities, absolutely. They can't have a waiting room with spots and dirt and smudge and garbage all over the carpet. It's got to smell good. It's got to look good, right? And, you know, other places, not so much. And I mean, depending, you know, we've had like a bookstore here in our area with the filthiest carpet around, and they just don't care. And I've gone in there and talked to them, but they just don't care, right? So, but doctors' offices are a little bit different. Attorneys' offices, too. Not that it's a medical facility, but the fact that they have to impress and look good for their clients coming in. You know, one of the things that you mentioned too, because we started thinking, you started talking about what are the biggest things, and this is maybe even a side question that I don't have written down, but I'd like to ask you, what are the biggest things that people look for in the commercial people look for in hiring you? And you had mentioned a little bit maybe about reliability and just about being able to you know, look good, because that's really one of the biggest benefits. They need to look good to their clients, to their prospects, and to their boss. Sometimes it's that they need to look good to their boss, but what else would you add to that? What are they looking for?
Dependability is definitely a big key. Showing up on time
right.
is a big thing. Making sure everybody in your crew, whether it's just you or you've got a couple of guys or even just one other guy, are easily identifiable. You don't look like last week's lunch when you walk through their doors.
Right.
And that you're neat and clean in their building, and you keep their building neat and clean when you leave it, meaning like if you're using their janitor's closet or if you're bringing in and out equipment or supplies, that it's in a, you know, one neat little area and everything is kept just so, because even though it doesn't look like somebody's watching, they're watching you. I mean, sure. I've had commercial clients going out to bid a job where they asked to see my truck, and they really didn't care what I had for equipment.
Right.
They wanted to know if my van was clean.
Right. Yeah. It was their trash and McDonald's bags falling out of the door, you know, and how you keep yourself tells a lot about the company that you are. And exactly. You know, and some of the times too, they're literally, we clean for commercial accounts that are never there when we're cleaning, but guess what? They're watching us via security cameras. and they'll see that later. And you got to be careful about that. You always act like they're watching you, but you got to be careful about that. You know, talking about reliability, I never forget one time I pull into just to turn around into an apartment complex, and it wasn't that we were going to clean there. We were going to look for, I think we were going the wrong way or we needed to turn around. The manager drives up to me and she's yelling and screaming at me, "Where have you been? I've been waiting all day for you." And I just look at her and I smile and I laugh and I go, "I'm not here to clean for you. I'm just here to turn around." I mean, and she stops and she apologizes, and because she was yelling at me like I was, you know, just the trash carpet cleaner. Cause that's how she probably treats her carpet cleaners, right? And I went, note to self, I'm never coming to do work at this apartment complex.
Right.
You know, cause chances are she hired the cheapest guy in town who can't afford to really be there or hire guys that are reliable to be there. So that's just kind of a funny side note. So,
yeah, I mean, one of our daycares has live streaming with their security feed all through the building. So somebody is watching at all times at a central location, or can pull up stuff at a central location. Because I can remember, actually, it was my son at the had found money under a desk, and he had had put it like right on top of the desk. And the next day, we got a phone call from their central security saying, "Wow, you guys are really honest, aren't you?"
Nice. It's like,
and I had no idea what he was talking about, but he knew the room we were in, the time we were in, and what my kid did. So it was like, you know, these are the things that happen.
Right. You know, even in a residential, but especially commercial or any setting, I like to tell my guys, act like you're on a security camera, because you never know when you actually are. Right. So that's how they need to be acting inside of a home. Well, good. So let's talk a little bit about getting these commercial accounts and clients. What exactly do you do to find commercial prospects?
We have several processes. One of them is LinkedIn, where we will go, and depending on what we're looking for, but say like property managers, doctors, lawyers, larger insurance companies, if you're looking even for like apartment managers, and find out what groups, especially the property managers and insurance agents, are in, and join them, and even join in the conversation and be helpful. You can find the contact person's info and just send them, you know, a brief scripted message, and see if you can make a connection with them. I have a tool for LinkedIn, so I can get people's email addresses and phone numbers also. So, you know, we just put them into our CRM to start either emailing and or doing direct mail for them.
Perfect.
We will get mailing lists such as some of the things you offer.
Yeah.
And sometimes we'll even go on Facebook and do similar things like that. And then we just go ahead and either start voicemail messaging them, emailing them, and direct mailing them. One thing I like to do, and I've talked about it before with you, is I love lumpy mail. I love lumpy direct mail.
Absolutely.
Either with a brain, a boomerang, or even shredded money or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you put it into a sequence, and if you get the right contact person, and that's part of doing homework once you find out who you want to get to, is after I've done a couple of mailings is to walk in and see if I could talk to the person. And many times they're like, "Oh, you're that crazy guy that sent this, this, and this." So I know I've got their attention, and it's kind of an icebreaker.
Exactly. And that's exactly why, you know, we've talked about that a lot in the commercial marketing course. That's exactly why we do that type of thing. We send, and what David's talking about is some of the stuff that we've got where we actually don't just send a letter or a postcard. It's a little bit more than that. It's a letter with a good offer. And first, we even did the homework, like he even mentioned. He kind of just quickly ran down the gamut of what we do. But you got to do your homework. Make sure that you're actually getting in to talk to and mail to first the person who's in charge of hiring a cleaning company. Then specifically mail that person a series of maybe a letter with a $1 million bill on the top of it talking about how we'll make your office, your floors, your upholstery, whatever you're going to do for them look like $1 million. Then maybe the second time, shredded money. Maybe the third time, a postcard. That type of thing. But when you send them a sequence like that of just something that's different, they're going to remember you, right? So you're preceding yourself with something very noteworthy. And what I figured out, David, have you ever done, you know, very much just cold calling and walking into offices without sending that stuff out first? I'm sure you probably have done some. I know I have.
Yes, I have.
And it's just not as fun, is it? I mean, it's just kind of takes a lot of time, and it's just very dreary because they don't know who you are. And, you know, what I always think is so funny is some of these guys who talk about, you know, I make $200 or $300 an hour, but yet they go out cold calling like that. And to me, my time's way more valuable than that. I mean, even when I, you know, was first getting started in business, it was way more valuable than that, because I knew that I could go out and make that kind of money. Why spend all that much time? You know, why not just spend a couple dollars mailing a letter, you know, and even sometimes just 50 cents mailing a letter? You know, it just doesn't make any sense.
Oh, exactly. And the neat thing is, if you've done your homework, and sometimes it's as simple as a call sometimes to find out who's in charge of what the services you're going to offer.
Very important.
And you send them a letter, the next time you call and you get the receptionist / gatekeeper and they want to know what's this about, you can just say, well, you know, I sent Bob some info. I just want to make sure he got it, or I'm following up on the info that I sent Bob.
Right.
And many times they'll just send you right through.
Right, exactly. So, and that's part of it. You know, the other thing that I heard you say too, you know, one, just to back up to make sure everybody understands, I'm not saying only do mailing and never go visit them. I'm saying mail first and then visit. And then mail them again and then visit until you get their business. But the other thing that I heard you say that was so important, David, too, is you hit them with multiple media. You don't just email them or Facebook message them and stop. You're going to do, you know, ideally, if it's somebody you really want, you're going to connect with them on LinkedIn, Facebook. You're going to email them on your email newsletter list, you know, or even just a personal email. You're going to mail them a series of letters, and then you're going to visit them. And you're probably going to do all five of those things within a few months, right? I mean, is that sounds like to me that's what you're saying for a prospect that you really
that's
want.
That's correct. Right. Absolutely. And be consistent. And what I mean by be consistent as well as being persistent is you want to market them the same message the same way,
right?
With pretty much the same offer. So everything they see and hear from you says the same thing, so they don't get confused.
Right, exactly. And that way you're not contradicting yourself. Anytime you contradict yourself in marketing or in any communication, if there's a disconnect, if they don't understand because you contradicted yourself, they just scratch their head and they go, oh, well. And they move on to thinking about something else. So make sure it's all in harmony. And the other thing too, and sometimes I even have a problem with this, make sure your office even knows about these people or that you're doing this. Because sometimes I'll do campaigns and forget to tell anybody at my office. They're like, oh yeah, somebody called about this. I've got no idea what it is. Right? So you got to make sure everybody answering the phone knows about the things that you're doing, you know, and all the stuff that you're doing for marketing. So anything else that you wanted to add about that, about finding commercial prospects, the right ones?
One of the things I think too is everybody thinks that when you're looking for commercial prospects, they're thinking of night work, and that's not necessarily the case. I can tell you we do very little late night work. I mean, by 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock the latest, we're gone, and a lot of our work is done during the day. Doctor's offices, dentist's offices, even lawyer's offices, chiropractors is another good one, where usually one day during the week, nobody's in the office. Mm-hmm. Or one morning during the week, nobody's in the office, and that's just the perfect opportunity for you to go in and take care of their needs.
Exactly. That's the thing that even kind of shocked me when I first started doing commercial. Now, conversely, if you do want to do night work, you know, then target things like restaurants. They're not the most popular on my list, but if you're new in business and you want to do night work, I know a few guys that are still doing their carpet cleaning business part-time while they have a full-time job, and they have to do some of this during night. So sure, restaurants, retail stores, maybe in the mall or in a shopping strip. What are other big nighttime, maybe nursing homes sometimes are nighttime. What else would you say?
Nursing homes, hospitals proper would be some of the nighttime work. Even, well, bars.
Right.
And entertainment places, things like that.
Right. A lot of the times those will either be real, real late at night or just early, early morning, really, whenever we've done any of those.
And depending, daycares can be night work.
Right.
We prefer to do them on the weekend.
Right.
But sometimes it can be night work. You know, anything, any building sometimes where a janitorial company will be doing the service, if you partner up with a janitorial company that doesn't want to do what you do, many times it'll be night work because they're going to babysit you because they're paranoid.
Right, right. Which, until they get to know you, until they understand that you're going to be reliable and do the right thing, then So, speaking of which, that was my next question. What are some good referral sources for commercial cleaning?
Definitely janitorial companies. I really like them. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are awesome at doing hard floors, or at least like doing vinyl VCT floors, which is vinyl composite floors, like you'd see like in some of the grocery stores or things like that. But carpet cleaning, they have a horrible time with it. A lot of times they just don't even have the manpower. It always comes out lousy. So they're, for me, a good referral source. Obviously, some property management companies even some larger cleaning companies who just want to subcontract it out. Dare I say there are a couple of national contractors that are actually pretty good, but they're few and far between. But even some of those, as long as they're paying and giving you what you need to make the contract work, they can be good. There are some citywide maintenance, I guess, would be a good example where this company mostly hires subcontractors to do everything. They're basically like a sales organization that goes out and sells the contracts, and they hire subcontractors in to do the work.
Right.
I work with two franchises from them, and they pay us what we need to get. I mean, obviously not as much as we're doing on our own, but I don't have to worry about doing the sales part or a whole bunch of other things. So to me, it kind of all works out and balances out.
Right. Good, good. Yeah, obviously property managers can be huge, but at the same time, they're one of the ones to be careful about. You know, I always like to give that pre-warning to some of the new guys because they don't know, and they might go out just trying to beg for restaurant cleaning, and they don't know what they're getting into. And in some areas, again, it might be different, but I know almost every time we've done any restaurant cleaning, it's always been the dirtiest carpet, and they've not ever wanted to pay very much. Restaurant's a hard business to be in. You know, quite frankly, I'd rather be in the cleaning business any day than the restaurant business.
Oh, yep. Absolutely. And smaller property management companies, sometimes they're mom-and-pop companies, and maybe they only have one or two or three people, and they're actually, the guy who owns the company is still doing some of the work. One of the people we work for is actually coming to mind. But, you know, they're doing multiple apartment complexes or small retail spaces all through your community. Once you get in with them, it starts to become less about price and more about getting to them a little bit quicker than somebody else would, mm-hmm. and just making sure the work gets done properly and that everybody's happy. So as you're building this relationship, you know, you can start raising your price if you started with a lower price. And they're not going to go anywhere else because, you know, you actually know the owner and, you know, you get a little friendly, you know, send them, you know, a little gift here and there.
Right. You know, good point. Speaking of price, let's just, if you wouldn't mind talking about that for just a minute, just so you don't have to give me exact prices, but just generally so some of these guys know, what do you charge, like, per square foot, I assume, versus by the room? What are some of your minimum charges, that type of thing? Can you talk about that?
Sure. My minimum charge for a commercial job for a new client is going to be $200. I'm figuring if they can't spend that, then we might as well walk away right away.
Right.
For big jobs, I've gone as low as 6 cents a square foot.
Sure. How big, you know, if you don't mind me asking? How many square feet?
They're about 10,000 square feet.
Okay. Okay. And, you know, I think I've mentioned that I have, you know, maybe gone, maybe not quite that low, but almost, but for a larger job, especially if it's cleaner carpet, you know, why not? I mean, the main thing is, here's the thing that I think everybody needs to understand, and I'm sure you'd agree with me, David. The only thing that matters at the end of the day is how much are you making per hour? Who cares how much per square foot? It's how much are you making per hour when you're out there. And the other thing, too, that we have different minimums over, because just during the day, our minimum's $95. That's if it's close to our facility. If it's not, if it's a little bit further out, more than like 20-15 minute drive, then it's a little bit more. We have a lot of areas that are really close to our shop, though, that are only 95. But it's the same minimum if it's during the day. Now, if they want us there after 5 o'clock, we actually have at least a $300 minimum. And so, right. or if they want us there on Sunday or, you know, anything like that. Go ahead.
And it goes on a sliding scale for me, for the property manager, how much work we're doing for them.
Right.
Per month. But my average price is 25 cents a square foot for, you know, and again, anything above 10,000 square feet, I'll start dropping the price because it's about production then. Sure. And obviously, I'm up front, and I'll tell everybody, when most of our commercial cleaning is low moisture cleaning, or a combination of just doing the real bad areas with hot water extraction, and the rest is low moisture cleaning, and you know, so it gives them a good even look and feel to the place, and so it saves them money and it keeps our production time up.
Sure. Just real quick, I mean, I don't like to get a whole lot into the specifics and the technicality because mostly, you know, I'm talking about marketing with these guys. But what do you do, you know, technically maybe even for, are you using encapsulation with a Cymex or how are you cleaning?
We use a Cymex. We have an Orbital Machines and we also still use buffers.
Okay. You'll even take a floor buffer. And you do a lot of hardwood floor as well. Is that correct?
That is correct. Especially on the residential side, we do a lot of hardwood floors. On the commercial side, with hardwood floors, because as I've said before, my motto is: if you walk on it, we can clean fresh or restore it. Which means we're not only doing carpets; we're doing pretty much anything you walk on. So if it's a big building, especially schools, private schools is a great example of that. They, a lot of them have older public school buildings that they're taking over. So there's hardwood floors going all through the halls and the classrooms. And so many times they just need them cleaned. So, you know, we'll take an auto scrubber with a white pad or a red pad to clean the floors. Or you could even use an Orbital Machine or a buffer as long as you had a way of picking up the slurry, you know, pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Tell me some of your secrets maybe that you'll have about getting contracts and getting really into the right prospect and really what do you do to woo them and to really get in with them and convince them that you're the cleaner that they need to hire, regardless of how much you are, or because I'm sure you're not the cheapest in town, but what are some of your other secrets you can tell me about?
I like doing demos for people. I'll tell them, you know, take me to your dirtiest area. And so they'll take me to it, and many times, you know, we're doing like a bid or a walkthrough, you know, give them a price, and sometimes even right there, I was like, you know, take me to your dirtiest area, and they will, and it's like, do you have 10 extra minutes? And they'll say, yeah, so I'll go in the van, and I'll pick out the Orbital Machine, and I'll do a small little area for them to show them the difference. And that usually just blows their mind that I'm going to do something for free without asking them for something. And I'll tell you what, how about I come back next week and let's see how good it stayed, and then we can talk about some pricing if you'd like.
Good.
And they're usually, you know, very amenable to that. And what happens is the next week, it still looks really clean, which opposed to probably the guy who's cleaned it four other times steam cleaning or flying through it because they need the money, it still looks really good. And he's like, okay, so now they've seen what we can do. And they're like, okay. And sometimes it's just, we'll do one cleaning for them. And if they like it, then we try to get an agreement with them. I mostly all my contracts are military related or really big buildings where we're just doing more things than just carpet cleaning. We're doing their water damage. You know, we're doing a whole bunch of other stuff where they need a yearly pricing because the higher ups are demanding it.
Mm-hmm. Good. And yeah, free trial offers are always a good non-conditional way for you to get your foot in the door to just meet them. You know, with retail, they say, the big thing is get them to grace your doorstep one time. And then there's a good chance they'll come back unless they had a bad experience. Well, the cleaning industry, same kind of thing. Get them to have us in there cleaning something once, especially with commercial, but even with residential. Yeah, so the big thing is free trial offers are great. Get them to come in and show them what you can do, and then they're going to call you back. So any other little known secrets or any little tidbits that you can share with these guys?
One of the things, and I don't know if anybody else does it, but if we get somebody on a maintenance program, when I'm going over it, I tell them, you know what, because sometimes they're doing it quarterly or every 2 months or whatever, I make sure I stop in once a month, and if I see some spots or little things, you know, we walk through and we'll just do little spotting here and there in the place for them.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And it keeps my foot or my face in front of them, and a lot of times they'll be like, oh, you know what, we actually need something over here done. And as you start doing things in the building, you'll notice things like upholstery. Maybe you're going to notice like wall dividers or other things in there that you can put in as additional services. I know we do, as an aside, we do a donut chain, and the only thing we do in there is clean their bathroom, is do their bathroom floors.
And then that's what they need, and I'm sure you just price it to where it's profitable for you.
Yeah, I do it. I guess that's another thing I didn't even think of. It just came to my mind when I say that, is we try to do commercial cleaning in routes. So we're going from one place to the other place to the other place in a systematic form. Mm-hmm. So we're not wasting time, money, or gas. So we'll just go from one building and, you know, try to book them either the same day or the same evening. So we're just going around in a circle, and obviously the donut shops, that's definitely what we do. So we're just going from one to the other all day long on the day that it's the donut shop day.
Absolutely. Good. You know, and the neat thing, too, about the trial offer and even the we'll clean your spots. I mean, this is some of the stuff that we talk about in the offers in those letters, right? Because, you know, and like you mentioned, you want to have that as part of almost every initial communication that you have with them before you get to do that trial offer is, you know, in the letter that you send them, in the phone conversation, in the Facebook message, in the LinkedIn message, anything that you would do, you want to go ahead and tell them about your thing. And it doesn't have to be a trial offer for everybody, although that I found works well. But also, too, what I found that works well sometimes is just we're going to come and give you $100 of free cleaning. You know, and give us, we'll clean, you know, a certain area of your dirtiest carpet because we want to show you what we can do. And then it's got a dollar value on it. But all of that is, you know, part of the whole thing, the whole gamma of sticking to that, like we talked about, sticking to that central message and reminding them after that about we still want to do this thing for you. And then you go in and you get on the route, you talk to the donut stores, and you go in and you become friends with them. And eventually, if you get with them enough, they're going to, I mean, how could they not take you up on an offer like that? That's crazy. And granted, don't give that type of an offer to maybe everybody, but the businesses that you really want, the businesses that you know can give you, you know, if I was going to give away $100 in cleaning, it would hopefully be somebody that could reasonably give me at least a few $100 job every month. Right. You know, something like that, or potentially more. But I'll gladly give away $100 in free cleaning for the potential even $300 a month job. I mean, why the heck not? That's, you know, makes perfect sense.
One other tip that I would give is, obviously, commercial buildings sometimes have more businesses in them. So, like, you might be doing common areas, and that's to slip your offers in. First, get permission, make sure you can do it if you're dealing direct with a property manager, to slip your offers under other businesses' doors.
Right.
And if you're in a building that it's strictly employees, ask if you can put, you know, special offers for your residential side.
Right.
On their employees' desks. After you get more friendly, sometimes they have an intranet, or they have maybe a monthly newsletter or something like that, and you want to see if you can get, you know, put in there offering, you know, their employees, you know, their employee-only discount specials. So not only are you getting a commercial account, but you're going to pick up a few residential clients by doing that.
Absolutely. Or even, you know, one good thing, too, that we've done is a $25 gift card. You know, take that. That's a little bit more valuable. Put that in all the employees' desks. Get permission first. That type of thing, and then it's got a dollar value amount to it. You know, if you want to give away even more than that, you can give away a $50 one. But absolutely, and connect with them for residential there as well. If you're already the office carpet cleaning or tile cleaning or maid service, why the heck not? You know, it just goes hand in hand.
One other thing I would do is, after you've gotten a couple of commercial accounts and you're friendly enough with the contact person, is ask if they can be a referral source for you. Obviously, they might know other people, you know, property managers or business owners who you could use, but also when you're prospecting, ask, hey, could I use your name that we clean here? Or if they give you a testimonial, so you can either put it in your letter or when it comes up in conversation with somebody, oh, yeah, we clean for so-and-so, because they might know that person.
Right. Right, exactly. Anytime you can, it's a great thing, especially if it's a business that is noteworthy in the area. You know, why not be able to say it? Now, even if it's a business nobody's heard of, it still helps. But if it's a business that people know of, it's great to be able to say, I clean for the biggest law firm, you know, in the area, or this doctor, or, you know, but ideally get their permission first. If you're using it in casual conversation, I think technically you're allowed to some level. Most of the time, I can't say that for sure, but if you're using in advertisements or, you know, in social media, then you probably need to get their technical, even maybe written permission.
Right, and actually you just brought up a great point, which is those testimonials, you know, put them on your website in a testimonial section or even on your front page, you know, that you're cleaning for this company, because, you know, simple things like that just might, you know, get somebody off the fence to give you a call.
Absolutely, because they want to do business with people that they already have done business with, people that they already know, right? That definitely helps. So, well, good. Any other last words of wisdom, advice for some of these guys that you want to give us before we close?
Sure. That would be, don't wait till you get everything set up perfectly.
Right.
You can adjust things on the fly. Just get started. The hardest thing to do is get started. Once you get started and you get a little bit of success, you're going to get excited, and things are just going to keep rolling and snowball. So, you know, and be persistent and consistent with everything you do.
Absolutely. Success breeds success. So go in and start having some small successes, but you're not going to do that until you start doing this stuff. So get up and start working, and everything's not going to go perfect at first. I know it didn't for me. I assume it didn't for you, David. Like, but do it until it goes well. And we're here to help. You know, David's part of the ad club. He's on the cleaning marketing discussion group on Facebook a lot. So get on by all means and ask us some questions. And if you have some feedback that you want from stuff, let us know. Well, all right, David, I sure do appreciate this interview. I'm sure there's a lot of guys that are going to get a lot out of this. It's going to really help them. And I thank you.
Thanks. It's been my pleasure. Thanks again, John. It's been fun.
Okay, great.